This is John from the FreeGiftFromGod.com podcast. I'm continuing on with this new section, this third section of the Salvation Road journey about walking with Jesus. And today I'm going to talk about trust. Our objective today is to understand where our trust must lie and to realise that we cannot trust anyone or anything other than God and Jesus Christ. And we also want to see the blessings we receive through trusting in God and Jesus Christ. In overview then, trust is a key requirement of the Christian life, and all Christians must learn to trust. Trust is based upon evidence that proves trustworthy. When we trust that God can and will answer, we receive what we ask for. When we cease to trust him through doubt or fear, we cannot receive his gifts because his gifts are based on faith. Trust is interwoven into so many parts of the Christian faith that it is inseparable from it. To have faith in God means we must trust him. To obey the words of God means we must trust what they say. To receive all God's gifts means we must trust that he will do and give what he has promised. So it's essential to understand that trust is core to our life in Christ and develop that trust so we may see the Lord and to live with him. The first scripture then I want to look at is in Matthew chapter 27, verse 43. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. So we're going to begin this session by looking at what the scribes and Pharisees recognised about Jesus, even though they used that knowledge in a mocking way. Jesus trusted God, totally and absolutely. Jesus didn't want to die, but he knew it was necessary so that his sacrifice could cover our sins and give man the chance to find life. Jesus knew that all power and all authority sits with the Father, and so he can be trusted to deliver on all the promises he has made to man. This is the trust that Abraham had when God told him to take Isaac and offer him on the altar. Abraham trusted God so much that he figured even if he had to kill Isaac on the altar, God could raise him from the dead and give him back. And if you want to have a look at that, have a read of Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. I'm not going to go into it now, though. Abraham, like Jesus, recognised it was more important to trust the word of God than to seek his own desires. In Romans chapter 4, verses 3 and 5, we read this. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, his wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as his due. And to one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Here we see the strength of the faith and the trust Abraham put in God. Abraham believed God. Why? Because Abraham trusted God. Abraham's trust was made evident in the strength of his faith. And because he trusted and believed the words of God, God reckoned Abraham as righteous. That is, God gave Abraham the free gift of righteousness, which he does for us when we believe also. God forgave all Abraham's sin and declared that Abraham stood righteous before God, before him. This is the power of trust and faith combined for everyone who believes in the Lord. The example of Abraham is the path that we take now in trusting and believing that Jesus has set us free through his sacrifice. In Romans chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, we see this. In hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Do you see how strong the trust of Abraham was? God had told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations and peoples. Even though he was around 100 years old and Sarah, his wife, was barren and unable to conceive and well past the age of menopause, being well into her 90s. Yet Abraham believed God can do anything, even allowing a 90-plus year old woman to conceive and give birth to a child. And as we see here, none of these human impediments stood in the way of Abraham's belief in God, because Abraham trusted God to be able to solve any problem and to do anything. And so Abraham grew strong in his faith, despite the fact it was many years before these things took place after God had spoken to him about them. Abraham was not just a man of great faith, but of insurmountable trust also. Over in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 18, we see this. For it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. This parable, amongst other things, is a parable of trust. Just as this man was going on a journey, he entrusted his wealth to his servants to trade and grow his wealth. So too the Lord entrusts his people with various gifts and abilities to be used in the growth of his kingdom. We see in the parable all the servants were given different amounts of money to trade with. Clearly the man recognised they had different strengths and abilities, and he could or would only entrust them with what they could handle. The third servant was not entrusted with much at all, and it's evident the decision of the master was well-founded, because this servant did nothing with the money, and also, as you read on, rejected and defamed his master. So too, the Lord gives gifts to serve his people, and we are expected to use them. And when we do, the Lord will extend and grow those gifts and use them more in accordance with his will, his trust in us, and our trust in him and the abilities that we have. In Luke chapter 16, verses 10 to 11, we read this. He who is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and he who is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will entrust you to the true riches? When we consider the attitude of trust, we see that it is inextricably linked with faith. We must be faithful in all things, and likewise we must trust God in and for all things too. As the scripture here tells us, if we can't be faithful in small and meaningless things, like money, which in the grand scheme of things means very little for salvation, then how can we be trusted in the big things? Likewise, trust God in all things, for he can be trusted. Yes, you will have to go through some tough things, but in the end, the goal that we are searching for and we are reaching for is greater and is worth it. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 41 to 47, we read this. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and comely in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is to the righteous. Look at the words of David and Goliath here. Goliath trusted in his armour, size and strength, and he derided David. Goliath expected to break David like a twig, since he was so much bigger and stronger. But David put no faith and no trust in the flesh. He did not consider his own strengths and abilities to be of any importance at all. David clearly expected to defy and beat Goliath, not through his own power, but by the power of God. David trusted God to deliver him and all of Israel from the Philistines, and that is what God did. As David so eloquently said in the last verse here, The Lord saves not with sword and spear. In the same way, Gideon defeated an army of tens of thousands with just 300 men. If you want to look at that, have a look at Judges chapter 7. In our trust, we find it's not by might, not by strength or power that we achieve the victory. It's by trusting in the Lord to deliver the victory in his way. In the first letter of Paul to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 to 21, we read this. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid the godless chatter and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it some have missed the mark as regards the faith. Grace be with you. What we as Christians are entrusted with are the keys to the kingdom of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of salvation, and we have been entrusted with that gospel to learn to stand perfect before the Father. There is much discussion on the web about different things that people can get involved in regarding Scripture. A lot of it is pointless because it doesn't lead to salvation. You will doubtless see articles and discussions about all manner of things like preterism and pre- or post-tribulation rapture, creation versus evolution, and lots more. Will any of these things assist you along the road to salvation? No. They can be interesting, and you can spend a lot of time arguing the point to point with others, but in the scheme of what Christianity is about, these things are pointless. Similarly, the things that happen in the world, such as terrorism, gun control, economic collapse, climate change, and so on, all of these can consume your time and energy, and some of them may have some value, but none of these will lead to salvation. In the second letter that Paul wrote Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 to 14, we read this. For this gospel I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, and therefore I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Jesus Christ. Guard the truth that has been entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. The gospel is a thing that we must first learn and guard in our hearts and spirits if we are to receive salvation. Anything else in this world is secondary to that. And God will show the truth to those who seek it. For Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. God has guarded the truth down through the ages so that it will be available to all who seek it. He has organized the Bible so as to hold the truth of salvation through Christ Jesus so that we can learn from those who wrote this down, and all Scripture was written and inspired by the Holy Spirit. We can trust God to deliver on his promises, for he cannot lie, and did not promise anything he cannot or will not deliver, including the truth that leads to salvation and eternal life. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 to 19, we see this. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or a wrongdoer, or a mischief maker. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but under that name let him glorify God. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous man is scarcely saved, where will the impious and sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will do right and entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. As Peter writes here, we can and should entrust our souls to a faithful Creator. God is trustworthy, and he will see us through all of the problems, all of the issues, all of the trials, tests, and tribulations that we will face in this life. It's necessary that we go through difficult times, for it's in those times that we learn to trust and rely on God to carry us through. As our faith and trust are tested, we grow stronger as we see the way the Lord deals with the issues of this life. The last scripture here is in Revelation chapter 21, verses 5 to 8. And he who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the fountain of the water of life without payment. He who conquers shall have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, as for murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their lot shall be in the lake that burns with fire and sulphur, which is the second death. In the end, we can take hold of the words of the Lord because his words and his promises are trustworthy and true. What he says will take place for the processes of this life were set in place millennia ago and are following the path that God established and will continue to the end. As we see here, those who conquer shall have the heritage of the Lord. They shall have salvation and eternal life with God. And we conquer only by trusting in a faithful God who will bring us to where he wants us to be. Salvation is from the Lord, so hold fast your faith and always, always hold fast to and trust in the Lord to teach and deliver you. Now here's a couple of questions to consider. Firstly, where are you placing your trust? Secondly, do you put more weight on trusting the power of your own strength, or money, or other people, or government, or guns to save you, or do you trust God? Thirdly, do you see that trust worked hand in hand with faith in the actions and lives of the great people of the Bible? As a call to action, before doing anything, especially important things, seek God in prayer to provide and show you the path, and by so doing, put your trust in Him. Secondly, if you are in difficulties of any kind, pray and ask God to relieve or to overcome them, and hold fast to the belief that He will. Note, He has promised to guard His people. Thirdly, remind yourself of the times when the Lord has helped you when you needed it, and use that knowledge to strengthen your faith and trust. So, a couple of prayer points. Spend a few moments in prayer now to pray and ask the Lord to help you strengthen your trust in Him, believing like Abraham did that all things are possible to God and nothing is outside of His control. Okay, so that's it for this session. In the next session, I'm going to look at another very important part of Christianity. I mean, they're all important, but the next one I'm going to look at, we'll look at the sacrifice of Jesus and what it meant for us. So, until next time, this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast. I hope you have a blessed week, and may God bless you, and I'll catch you next time.